evening because we do have the Lord's table coming up, and we want to take some time for that. And but I do want you to just to see some simple things here. I entitled this message this evening, Carnality's Craft. Carnality's Craft. I just want you to see a few things. Look at verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 3. I'm not purposely going to give a big background tonight again and review because of the time. But let's jump right in. I think you understand what Paul is trying to do here. He's attacking the carnality in this very carnal church. And by the way, I think in all of the churches that were mentioned in the scriptures in the New Testament, I think that we see this church at Corinth as the carnal church, the most carnal, if you could put it that way. A church with a lot of problems, but they're being addressed here. And so we want to be very careful not to follow the same pattern and take the admonitions that God gives us through Paul. Now, here we have, we're talking about people that are living in their own flesh. Remember, a lot of this has to do with divisions and people following different groups of people. And honestly, it's man's wisdom and man's knowledge as apart from God's. And anytime we follow men, that's where, if they're not following God, then we're going to be tripped up with that. All right, let's look at this. And honestly, this whole passage goes through the end of the chapter. I'm going to allude to some things towards the end of the chapter and the last verses, but we're going to focus on verses 16 and 17 here for just for a few moments. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Now I'm going to stop there, and I want us to look at this. I just have a couple of simple points here that I want you to see. I want you to first of all notice that the temple. Now, Paul is speaking here and he says, "Ye are the temple." Now let's ask ourselves the question, who are the ye? Ye are the temple. Now, there can be two ideas. We can look at it individually, and we know that in 1 Corinthians later, he says that, "What know ye not? That your body is the temple." Okay, so there's an option here that we could be talking about individual people. You know, I could look down and say, okay, you are God's temple, and you are God's temple if you're saved, and you are God's temple, and you're God's temple. And that is very true. We are God's temple. God lives within us. Okay, so we're the temple. In context here, I would suggest that the whole church could be considered as church. You're the temple. Now, of course, each church is made up of individuals. What we know it's not talking about is we're not talking about this building. We're not talking about a church building that, folks, a Faith Bible Church, this is God's temple. He's not talking about that. This is the place that this church meets. God's people meet in this church, but this building is not God's temple. So we don't refer to this place as, "Oh, we're entering God's temple now." Now, it is the place where God's people meet. But I believe Paul here is addressing God's people corporately, made up individually. Okay? So I think the church as a whole is being addressed. Hey, Christians, you, this church, and let's get specific here, Faith Bible Church, you are God's temple. We are God's temple. God lives here. The church is God's temple. And so we see the church is his temple. What does he say about this temple in these two verses? As you look and peruse through these two verses. So he says, "You're not," and Jesus says, "Know you not that you're the temple of God?" And let's look at this, the Spirit. So we're the temple, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. The second thing we see second about this temple is, okay, we're the temple, but the Holy Spirit of God dwells here. Now, for those of you who were in Discovery Bible Studies this morning, that word was used, right? That you know, he dwells, you know, Paul's prayer was that Christ would dwell in them. Now, I believe that this is a different, and I didn't really check this out, I believe this is a different Greek word for dwell, okay? You learned this morning in Discovery Bible Studies that Christ wants to come in and make himself at home in your life, And we looked at that this morning, and honestly, it was too bad that we had to cut that a little short because I wanted everybody to be ready for their heroes that were coming. But honestly, it was a powerful lesson this morning that God, Jesus Christ, wants to come in and be at home in your life. Every part of your life, be at home. And the question is He at home in your life? But that was this morning. Here we see that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us. Whether we look at either Greek word that is used for dwelling, the fact of the matter is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, when an individual gets saved, he's living inside of us. We have Christ. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we ought to really think through that as we have the Holy Spirit in us, dwelling in our place, dwelling, living inside. And it's not as a guest, but as an owner of your life, an owner of every different room of your life, an owner of this place, having the ability not just to come in and dwell and live, but having the ability to command and direct and clean house, so to speak, in your life. And the Bible says here that we're the temple of, in this case, the Holy Ghost. He lives inside of us. Does He dwell? Can He make Himself at home in your life? Are there rooms in your life that you have said no to concerning the Holy Spirit? Notice that this temple in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is what? Holy. Now that's interesting. The temple of God is made to be holy. God only reserves the right to live in a holy place. It's a holy place. That's where God lives, in a holy temple. Wow, that's convicting, thinking about that in our lives. Do we provide God a holy place to live in? Holy. And we look at our lives and compartmentalize our lives into different places, and we let God into this part, not into that part. Oh, He deserves a holy place to live. And we see, by way of context, the quality of this place. Now, not mentioned, you remember the previous passage that we were in right before these verses? You remember the blessing, you know, thinking through the gold and silver and precious stones or whatever it was, and then the wood, hay, and the stubble, and what we're doing with, and we learned, was it 2 weeks ago? We had a missionary last week, but 2 weeks ago, the truth. What are we doing with the truth in, if I can say, our temple among us? What are we doing with it? And we learned about how there was a lot of compromising with the truth. I think here that this temple was a place of quality and beauty and durability as we look at the context. And so we see here, you know, and even an application, is there a quality? Is there, you know, a durability? Is there beauty to the place that we are allowing God to dwell in our lives? First, we see the temple. Second of all, we see the tormentor, if I could put it that way, the tormentor. Notice verse 17. So the church is the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. And he says in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You see what he's saying there? He says, listen, you're supposed to be a holy temple. God is supposed to be living and dwelling, the Holy Spirit in your lives. He said, if any person is going to come and destroy, or he uses the word defile. Now, I will tell you that the word defile and destroy are the same Greek word that is used there. Okay, it's the same word. So it's not just a little defiling here. It's somebody, and I'm going to put it very simply because of time. Without a lot of, I don't have time to get deep with you. But honestly, what he's saying is if somebody's going to come in and ruin the church through wrong truth. Let's look at that just for a moment. What are some examples of things and ways that people attempt to ruin or destroy, or the word here, defile, God's holy temple? I would submit, first of all, it's through cheap substitutes. We learned about that a couple weeks ago, cheap substitutes. Can I tell you, and we're going to learn about this in our Faithful Music Conference, I believe that the church is defiling God's temple with cheap substitutes, and I would submit in the area of music. Honestly, it's a cheap substitute to come in, and to a lot of the churches that are out there that have got their worship music, it's a cheap substitute for holy worship of God. It's cheap. And as we cheapen that, I believe God would say that's defiling the temple of God. How would we come in and claim to worship God and be so fleshly driven in some of our music? And I'll tell you what, it is the truth. And we get so repetitious, we get so offhand that a lot of the music out there is so off base, maybe words that are given to God, but so driven by a worldly pattern that you wouldn't even know that is worship to God, that it would almost seem like some love song that is out there that has no honor and glory to God. Folks, we want to get away from that. How do we cheapen the worship of God? There are cheap substitutes for the Word of God, folks, out there today. I don't bring up the topic a lot. We believe here at Faith Bible Church, in the version that we use is the King James Version. We believe it is the best English version that is based upon the manuscripts that we trust as God's Word. And we hold strong to this, and we hold strong to God's Word through this, and I believe that there are churches out there that are weakening and cheapening through substitutions of God's Word so that they comply and in their words, better relate to us, but I would say it's weakening and cheapening God's holiness. We've got to be careful of that. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. We've got to be careful not to cheapen the Word of God with cheap substitutes. We need to be careful not to cheapen worship with wrong music. And even, folks, the way we worship, when we come to this place, it ought to be a place where we fellowship, but we ought to come to this place and honor God in the way we act, the way we dress, the way we fellowship, the way we handle things. It is God's, this gathering place is God's holy temple. We have cheap substitutes for His holiness, cheap substitutes for His truth. By the way, it's a cheap substitute as we live out God's life. If we're living dishonestly, we're cheapening God's truth. We're cheapening God's truth through compromise. But it's more than cheap substitutes. It's also the tearing down. There are people that have moved into the church that are trying to cheapen it and substitute things and weaken it. But there are also people that come into the church that are trying to tear it down. Tearing down God's truth. You say, what are you talking about here? Folks, listen to this. Anytime that a friend, another member at church, another attender at church, comes to you and gives you advice that counters the Word of God, I want to tell you something. They're tearing down the truth of God's Word. They're tearing down what God has given to us, and the church is being weakened. Isn't it true that God wants us to edify the church and build each other up? Anything that goes against God's Word is not only cheapening that, but it's tearing it down. Beware of people that give you advice that go against God's Word. It cannot be right. It cannot be right. We've got to be so careful. Whatever advice we give better be the advice that's in God's Word. And any advice that you get that is not in God's Word, you need to dismiss that advice. I've talked to many, many people that ungodly people have counseled them. Maybe even they even seemed godly, but they gave counsel that went against God's Word. That's not godly counsel. And so we need to dismiss that. That will tear down God's church. You know, that we can be torn down through an ungodly example. Oh, it's so important, folks, that we come to this place and be a good example to people. Be thou an example of the believers in all those things, you know, that Paul writes to Timothy. We've got to be a good example, but we've got to be careful of bad example in our lives, because people come in, give us an example, and we tend to follow people. We tend to see, oh, they do this and they do that, and it weakens and it tears down God's temple. And God says here, listen, if any man defile, if anybody would come into the church, and remember, Paul is addressing carnality here. He says, you need to be careful about people that are cheap substitutes, weakening the church, weaken it through worship and through God's Word, you know, the Word of God, the music, the this and that. But also, he said, people come in and they're being wrong examples. Anybody that's coming in and taking people away from Jesus Christ, he says, he says, you better be careful, because he said, those people that are defiling this house, by the way, take a time out. Anybody that comes in and is tearing the church down through unbiblical, ungodly ways, practices, mindsets, thinking that is not consistent with God, Jesus Christ, faith, His Word, anybody that's coming and causing disruption, causing turmoil, causing dissension, those people need to beware, because those people are that are defiling God's temple. Those people, God will defile Himself. I want to tell you, we have, Faith Bible Church, we have a huge responsibility amongst the other people that are here. You as a person, you have a tremendous responsibility here. God's using this verse to tell us, Faith Bible Church, be very careful, because if you need to come in and edify people, that means when we come in here, we don't tell negative things about other people to anybody else. You realize when we come in here and we use this building and to tell other people about, you know, I don't know, and we're not building them up. We are defiling God's holy temple. Oh, so careful. We need to be careful, because he who will defile, have a critical spirit towards somebody else. So the way somebody else is doing, and you don't like the way they're doing it. Folks, I want to tell you something. A critical spirit defiles God's temple. It doesn't build up. Your spirit, by the way, it's in. Nobody knows that I have a critical spirit to them. You know what? A critical spirit comes out so easy. I know it. I've had critical spirits towards people, and I thought that I kept it in, and I didn't keep it in so well. Hurt people. I want to tell you, we've got to be careful. These things are what he's talking about here. We come in and defile, God's going to defile us. Oh, we need to be so careful not to defile this faith. This is God's holy temple. Let's not be ones that destroy. Let's come in and edify and encourage. Let's be positive with the people. Let's encourage them to do right. Let's not defile. Let's not discourage with bad advice, bad example, critical spirits, dishonesty, lying about things. We need to be so careful. Thirdly, the treatment. What does God's word say? I've already alluded to it. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Why? For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I want to say this. If there's anybody in the earth God cares for, and it's his people, it's his church, God cares and loves you. He loves everybody, and he's got a special place in his heart for his people. He loves it. And when somebody comes and defiles somebody else through a critical spirit, through some of the other things that I just mentioned, when people are defiled, God does not take that lightly. He doesn't take it lightly. And he says that him shall God destroy. Now let's think through. Paul is writing to a group of believers or non-believers? Believers. Now you scratch your head and say, wait a second. God's going to destroy. He's going to, you know, is that eternal destruction? Does that mean if I defile people in this building that I'm going to be ripped out of God's hands and I'm going to go to hell? Now, based upon all the rest of Scripture, what's the conclusion with that statement that I just made? No, he's not talking about that. God is not going to, he's not going to do that. When you look and study the word is self-corruption or a weakening of. It's something that works itself and weakens over time. As we work to weaken God's people, we will also come to be weakened as well. Do you realize that when you are being critical of somebody else, you're lying to somebody else, or you're cheating somebody else, or you're giving wrong advice, you're being a bad example to other people, when you do that, they are going to be hurt, but you're going to be hurt as well. You are going to be weakened and weakened and weakened yourself in your Christian walk. What a devastating thing that would be. So this word defile or destruction, it's a self-corrupting weakening of our own selves. In context, we see that we're talking about a proud person. Somebody that thinks that their way is right. Do you realize that a proud person weakens the temple of God and corrupts it? A person that is worldly corrupts the church and weakens it. A person that is going against the truth is weakening it, and him will God weaken. And I say this, any attempt to water down or weaken the church, which is the holy pillar and ground of truth, will result in self-weakening and wasting of themselves. It has a lot to do in context with man's personal desires that are elevated over God's. Somebody that's coming into the church with a personal agenda is going to be a devastating on the church and to themselves. Folks, I want to tell you something. Messing with God's holy dwelling place is a big deal. And maybe we need to take a little bit more time to develop that. That's all we have time for tonight. But I want to tell you, whatever you're involved in our church, make sure that you have a proper understanding. Wait a second. These people that I worship with are God's temple. No cheap substitutes. Is it important that we keep our worship right in this church? What do you think? Folks, it's so important because this is God's temple. We don't want to give God a cheap place to live in. And we're not talking about this. We're talking about this. We got to be careful with cheap substitutes. We got to be careful about tearing down. Everything ought to be building up. Everything. There's no exceptions. No matter what. What's the result? A weakening down of ourselves. A destruction of ourselves. Not for eternity. But in our spiritual lives, we are going to find ourselves being weakened by God. Folks, let's have an attitude. We don't mess with weakening God's church. God, would you help us to have this mindset? God, help us to be very, 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 very careful not to do anything that would bring people down. God, help us. We all have struggles. We all have needs. We all have our problems, God, but help us to come alongside and just to be a fan and help each other along in the right way. God, help us to promote unity and peace and not do anything to destroy this place, not to do anything to bring people away from the truth or to be critical of other people or to lie about other people. God, would you help us not to be carnal? This is the way of the carnal person. But God, I pray that you would help Faith Bible Church, help us to be godly, spirit-led, spirit-dwelled, spirit-living people that would understand the truth. Oh God, would you help us? Help us. Lord, you deserve it because you've done so much for us. I thank you so much for sending your Son to purify us and to cleanse us. Lord, help us to live that way. For it's Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray these things. Amen. As we look at this passage, it ought to promote us to cleaning house. Discovery Bible studies this morning.